In the midst of life, we are in death. From whom can we seek help? Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. God, who raised Christ from the dead, will give life to your mortal bodies, also through the Spirit that dwells in you. Good afternoon. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and on behalf of the family and friends of Liz Tingley, I'd like to offer all of you a warm welcome to this service of celebration. Now, what is a service of celebration? Let me list a few things. We're going to laugh. We're probably going to cry. We're going to celebrate. We're going to remember, and we're going to worship. So, in that regard, and I think the family understands this, you can just kind of let it all hang out. And Liz was that kind of a person. I think she'd be happy if we did so. Having said that, there has been prepared a beautiful table of snacks and goodies in our Friendship Center. And Liz wanted us to party. So if you're a good euchre partner today, let me know, okay? And I had the hardest time restraining myself from some of the lovely, particularly the dessert back there. You'll enjoy it too as we share and celebrate and remember all that we knew and loved about Liz Tingley. So again, thank you for being here. God bless us as we celebrate. I'm sorry, it means a prayer. How about that? Let us pray. Oh God, you have ordered this wonderful world, and you know all things in earth and in heaven. Give us such faith that by day and by night, at all times and in all places, we may without fear commit ourselves and those dear to us to your never-failing love in this life and in the life to come. Help us now as we celebrate. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Hear now these words. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Thanks be to God.
That was beautiful. Can you hear me okay? Yes, you can tell that I hit that birthday this year where the glasses have to come on and off, so thank you, Deanne. I bought myself a new pottery mug at a small boutique shop just a few days before I wrote this. And I sat sipping my coffee while I was writing, and I knew that would have pleased my mom greatly, that I just did something nice for myself. One of the very simple things I learned from her was that something nice does not have to be fancy or expensive. The little things can bring you joy. It also reminded me of a time that Margie, Beth, and I went to a little B&B, just the three of us. Beth was about 6 years old, and we bought pottery mugs to remember the trip by. That trip is just one example of many where I feel like all of her kids and grandkids built special memories with her. Time with family is precious, and we did learn that from her. She was ready to be called home, and even though we miss her very much, I know that it was her time. She did not fear death. She was comfortable to be headed home for rest. Elizabeth May passed away in November at age 84. That last day my mom could not speak. We're pretty sure she had had a stroke. Late that night, I turned on a movie that she probably knew by heart, Parent Trap. You see, we had this wonderful tradition of watching the same movies over and over when we visited her. I thought maybe if she could hear it, it would be comforting. I held her hand. She always loved touch. When I finally moved to the couch to try to sleep a little, that is when she let herself go. When I realized she wasn't breathing, there is a funny in here, I started to call Margie and Charlie, but I was worried what if it was a false alarm. So I ran down the sleeping hospital hallway and asked somebody to come and verify that she had passed so that I wouldn't, you know, do a false alarm. I wasn't laughing at that time, but I look back and chuckle now, and I know that's what my mom would want me to do and none of us to take ourselves too seriously. During her early years, Liz spent time with Floyd and her cousins at her grandmother's home. She always treasured those memories and loved a visit from Miriam, Roberta, Hugh, and Sarah a few years ago. They all hunkered down and had a grand time reminiscing and laughing. She loved and took great joy in that visit and the beautiful memories of her childhood. Her brother Floyd joined Margie and I in Ann Arbor a few years back for one of my mom's major surgeries. And seeing the two of them connect and reflect was a great joy to us. As a teenager, she loved visiting the West Coast, and I recently got a note from cousin Judy explaining how she thought my mom was so cool as a teenager. That was a really fun note to get because my mom did not reflect on herself as being a cool teenager. Liz and Bert shared 39 years of marriage. She recently told me a story from when they were courting. They would go and work on his garden plot that he owned and tended, and one day they were in the car, and he just looked at her and said, "I think we should get married." And she said yes. My mom was a fierce advocate for her children. Whether it was arguing with a school principal that we should not rewrite the same sentence on the board over and over for punishment, but rather write a research paper, or whether she was driving us on a paper route on a rainy day, she was our biggest defender and confidant. When we were very young, it might have been convincing my dad that we were old enough to cross the street. And in high school, it was probably signing off on a school sport. While she was taking care of her family, including many years of caring for her mother, she had many special families that she helped with their children. The King, Roach, Barry, Risen, and Palmer families each meant so much to her. We have fond memories of playing with the kids that she cared for, as well as neighborhood families. For the families that she cared for in their home, each was so special. And when we called from college, she would tell us story after story about what was going on in their lives. And those families were also very good and generous to my mom. My mom continued volunteering into her 80s. She was president of Holt Senior Care Resident Council at the time of her passing. She was so happy that day that she called me and told me they had asked her. I mean, that's pretty cool. She was like 82 years old. A few fun memories. Making grape jelly and canning tomatoes as a kid. Warm tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches on Saturdays. When she would make jello, she would give a little bit of the warm liquid to us. Hearing about a coffee date with a friend, often Mary Lou or Jeannie. Driving a La Car across the country with three bikes on top and three teenagers. Easter visits where I carefully prepared lamb year over year over year because I knew it was her favorite. She finally told me she didn't like lamb. Just her love for her sons-in-laws. Dave would do anything for my mom, but most of all make her laugh. My favorite memory of Chris and my mom are dinners in our home. She loved watching us cook together. Charlie and my mom's special Thanksgiving dinners, sometimes Charlie cooked for my mom and sometimes they went out to eat. But it was such a precious tradition that she honored and he honored and they loved. Dyeing her hair red at 70, hearing about another best ever hug from Bill, Jennifer telling us how Grandma made you feel like you were the only one in the world, Beth's willingness to move in and care for my mom, Margie's precious visits with her. Margie is so patient. So they would just sit and visit and spend time together. Beth and Charlie co-reading a book to her over the phone during COVID, hearing about a quick stopover from Amber and Carl, Christopher's awesome Uber ride to take my mom to dinner when he was 15. Katie and Jenny's laugh-filled shopping trips with Grandma for sunglasses or plants or whatever she needed that trip. She would talk about these events for weeks and sometimes months after. A few of us have continued to call my mom's voicemail or listen to messages she left us just to hear her upbeat voice. We miss her. Life has come full circle, and I'm so grateful she got to witness that. She went from Beth and Billy riding on her scooter to her beautiful great-granddaughter, Charlotte, doing the same. Beth, her granddaughter, will speak now.
Hi, I'd like to thank you all for coming, especially those of you who came from far away. And of course, those sharing in this memorial through the stream. I know it would have made my grandma happy to see so many people who loved her and who love each other come together. Some of you know that I lived with my grandma for a year and a half recently, as she needed some help with day-to-day activities. I count myself incredibly lucky to have had that time with her. I don't think a lot of people get to feel like their grandparents or their friends. But she was one of the best friends I've ever had. Even now, I find that when I'm excited about something, my first instinct is to call my grandma and gush about it. I'll always have those memories. And I'm not the only one. Each of her grandchildren had their own special connection with her. Christopher shared with me how she embodied what a grandma should be. She loved her family so much, and she wanted to be there for each and every one of us as much as she possibly could. Even though she struggled, we rarely heard her complain, something I know many of us would love to emulate. When I asked Jenny about grandma, her answer couldn't have been more perfect. She referenced the intentional love that we've all shared, and it was such a perfect phrase to encompass each of our relationships with grandma. There are 1,000 memories we all share. Whether that was goofing off on a trip to Target, visiting the cider mill or the zoo, or just sitting and listening to an audiobook together. And I must have heard the phrase, "My little Katie," a million times. She enjoyed their special visits, some of which came as a wonderful surprise. I remember a trip from Katie would leave her smiling for at least a month. I don't know if you know how happy she was to be a great grandma, but she was absolutely besotted with little Charlie. And without mentioning every single grandchild, we all adored her and have precious memories. Jennifer, I know, has treasured memories of spending the days before Christmas with her, helping her get ready, especially when she lived in Charlotte. My grandma was the queen of holidays. We went to see her for Thanksgiving, Christmas, everyone's birthdays, and other celebrations. It isn't like we didn't see her in between. I'm sure we visited more than most families. It's just who she was. You wanted to celebrate with her. Holidays, and especially Christmas, stand out as days filled with laughter and games. She loved gatherings with extended family and left a legacy of staying well-connected for others to follow. My grandma was a drop of sunshine. She had a contagious laugh and a maternal nature. I remember she used to take a daily tour around the building to visit her friends. She liked to check in with everyone. And if she ever heard about someone who was having a hard time, she'd be sure and stop in and check on them too. I remember once we found a distressed neighbor who was having trouble with her phone. And without a moment's thought, Grandma invited her over so she could use hers. She helped her call her son and had me order a new charger. And I know it's a small thing, but I can't help remembering my grandma's taste in books. For those of you who don't know, she was an avid reader with something of an eclectic taste. But even the darkest books she read, a little mixture of Westerns and cozy mysteries, were filled with hope and kindness. I look out on a room today filled with love, and I know that Grandma wouldn't want us to be sad. So I'd like to ask that as we gather after this service, we carry the same joy in our hearts that she did. Thank you. I'm fine.
Great job. Great job. Okay, you're all right?
Yep, I'm fine.
Hi, I'm Katie. I picked a scripture reading and a poem that I think embody who my grandma was. The scripture reading is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The poem I picked is called She Is Gone by David Harkins. You can shed tears that she is gone, or you can smile because she has lived. You can close your eyes and pray that she will come back, or you can open your eyes and see all that she has left. Your heart can be empty because you can't see her, or you can be full of the love that you shared. You can turn your back on tomorrow and live yesterday, or you can be happy for tomorrow because of yesterday. You can remember her and only that she is gone, or you can cherish her memory and let it live on. You can cry and close your mind, be empty and turn your back, or you can do what she would want, smile, open your eyes, love, and go on. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I can't improve on all of that. But I think I can give a unique perspective of the privilege I had of being the pastor of Liz Tingley and having known her lovely, lovely, beautiful family. Liz Tingley deserved much more pastoral care than I gave her. Yet, as I stand before this wonderful group of family and friends today, I can tell you that my life was enriched and blessed for having known Liz Tingley. And I was proud to be among the lucky few people to serve as her pastor. She showed much appreciation for our conversations during fellowship time after church, a private chat or two in my office, and many visits at several different locations with Liz at Grand Haven, Charlotte, Holt, Regency, and a few times at Sparrow Hospital. We also had several telephone conversations, and when she was at Holt Rehabilitation, it was difficult for her to operate the bedside telephone. So before she would hang up, I could hear her telling her roommate how much she appreciated my call. Now, I had thought, as I shared with one of the family members, that Liz was a perfect person, and she told me that Liz was not a perfect person. I had to hear this story, and she said, you know, she said sometimes when she hung up that phone, she was so frustrated that there was another word or two that came out. So at least I have the assurance that we can think about the humanity of us all, including Liz Tingley. But when that happened, every time, it brought tears to my eyes. Liz was a grateful person. Now, it was not my privilege to have known Liz during her more productive younger years, but if you read the obituary and listen to those wonderful words already shared, you will quickly realize she was, as one of her daughters mentioned to me, one in a million. So while I cannot improve upon the superlatives offered by family and friends who knew her intimately, and the beautiful and heartfelt reflections offered here today, I would like to offer a perspective from the experience that the Mayflower congregation and I had. Liz loved God. She loved her family. And she loved this church. And I seriously doubt that anyone who ever met her would not have been struck by her godly qualities she exuded in her life and witness. Let me speak of a few. In the New Testament of Holy Scripture, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul shares the appreciation of the blessings he had received from one of the beloved congregations to which he ministered. He shared the lessons he had learned concerning every circumstance in his life, whether he had plenty or whether he was in need, whether he was hungry or whether he was well fed, and that he had learned the lesson of contentment. I never knew Liz when she was able to ambulate without the aid of her motorized wheelchair, and I was quite amazed at the skills she had developed with that thing. I thought there should be a new race held every year in Indianapolis, but Liz probably would have won that thing. But as already been mentioned, I never knew Liz to complain about her circumstances or situation. She was positive, affirming, accepting, and caring. If you didn't already know, those are the secrets of contentment. Lest you think those were merely personality traits, think again. Commitment is intentional, not accidental. Liz knew, as very few people do, how to be content. It wasn't necessarily natural because she did have a good personality, but she knew how to be content. Liz had the godly quality of contentment because she learned it, she nurtured it, and she lived it without regard to her circumstances. Liz, as I remember her, and you do too, was a cheerful person. Once again, Liz was blessed with a pleasing personality, and I'm convinced that Liz cultivated her godly sense of cheerfulness. The scriptures tell us, in a favorite scripture, probably for a lot of us, Proverbs 17:22, that cheerfulness has a medicinal quality. It's like a medicine. I believe this to be literally true. And I'm certain it played a medical role in her ability to live for several years with her disability. I don't think she could have survived and endured those years without the cultivation and cheerfulness that had long ago been a settled issue in her life. Not only was Liz a cheerful person, but she loved hilarity and fun. When she was at the Hope facility, she organized what I understand is a red hat group. You know, some of the older folks years ago at Mayflower, some of you remember, like Winnie and Blanche and Sarah Lou Chamberlain and others, the red hat. I don't know a lot about them, but I did go on the internet and I couldn't find a hat that was suitable, but I did come up with this. And that's simply in Liz's honor. She was a red hat person all the way. Excuse me, Lord, for putting on a hat in the worship service. I think the Lord will be okay with that. She loved playfulness and knew the value of what it meant to take a recess from the cares and duties of everyday life. It blessed all of us. All this in the context of fun, friendship, and the freedom to express oneself in positive ways and to encourage one another to pursue the fulfillment of lifelong dreams. And knowing her family, I think it had a pretty big effect. As I recall, there may have been a disappointment that more of the folks did not join her there at Holt and the Red Hat Society, but it illustrates the rarest of qualities Liz retained until the day she died. She loved life and wanted to share her joy with everyone she encountered. In the book of Galatians, in the New Testament of Scriptures, the Apostle Paul, in the 5th chapter, verses 22 and 23, gives a comprehensive list of those qualities which are evident in the life of a believer. And this is not a pick-and-choose list, but rather qualities that naturally flow from a life where one's witness is firmly rooted in a desire to serve and love God, others, and also oneself. The qualities mentioned are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all of which require no adherence to the law. No one was perfect, and I guess Liz had her faults. Although she probably had her faults and made her mistakes, when I perused this list, I would say that Liz had a very strong resume of witness that went far beyond her desire to attend and be involved in church. Those qualities, known as the fruits of the Spirit, identified her as a follower of our Christ. She was one of the kindest and gentlest persons I've ever known or ever met. I never heard her say an unkind word to anyone or about anyone. She consciously exercised self-control and was a patient person, as there were times, time gaps in between the times that I could see her, especially during COVID, and those periods were quite long sometimes. But it was never, "Where have you been?" Rather, "It's so nice to see you, and thanks for coming," or "Thanks for calling." As far as I know, Liz was not blessed with an abundance of material possessions. But as I tried to teach my children, who are now grown men, generosity has nothing to do with a wallet, but everything to do with a heart. I believe that Liz, to the best of her ability, helped everyone she could. She had a generous heart. Her family knows of her sacrificial love. In fact, we all knew of her sacrificial love. Even with her limited ability to ambulate without assistance, she shared lots of joy and peace around this place called Mayflower. Everywhere she lived or stayed, and even to the bus drivers who took her to church and back, I observed that with my very own eyes and ears, like some of you. She was a wonderful friend, faithful family member, and with what I was able to observe, she was a most loving and endearing mother and grandmother, giving good advice, demonstrating wisdom and grace. She was virtuous, industrious, fun-loving, and gracious. She put a positive spin on everything, even when the news, particularly about her health, was not good or encouraging. She treated nurses, doctors, orderlies, and cooks with equal respect and kindness, not ever showing a preference for one over the other, and without any shade of prejudice. I was proud and honored to be her pastor, which reminds me of one more quality. She was faithful, which goes without saying. She always wanted to be in church, imagining ways she could do it, even when time, distance, and health and logistics would have prevented it. I remember conversations with Liz, especially when she went out to Holt, of how it was that she was going to navigate and get to church. She loved the music, the preaching, and I can remember right where, just beyond where you are, Jeannie, having Liz sat right in that area, and Liz was a good listener, not only to sermons. I think we'd all say she was a good listener to each one of us. She loved the fellowship and the food we all shared together here at Mayflower. She attracted friends who became and remained special. She was faithful to her God, and she was faithful to us. I share with you the most special of times I ever spent with her. Shortly after she moved to Charlotte, in that newer place that ultimately didn't work out very well, but she was there, and I went to see her, and it was an extended visit. As I looked at the pictures hung on the wall of her room, she shared much about her childhood, youth, marriage, children, and family. I found out about some of you. She shared special joys, difficult times, challenges as well as opportunities. Then I took her wheelchair, and she gave me a guided tour of the facility, introducing me to everyone there. I think this kind of resonates with all who knew her. I was probably there for the better part of 2 hours, longer than I usually stay on a pastoral visit like that. It was pretty easy to do with such a person as Liz, truly one in a million. It was indeed my great privilege to know Liz as a friend and as a pastor to congregant, and I know it was your privilege too. I close with a verse of scripture that I think resonates with all of us when we think of Liz. From Psalm 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones." Bon voyage, Liz. We will see you again real soon. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have shared with us the life of Liz Tingley. Before she was ours, she is yours. For all that Liz has given us to make us what we are, for that of her which lives and grows in each of us, and for her life that in your love will never end, we give you thanks. And now we offer Liz back into your arms, and we pray that you would comfort us in our loneliness, strengthen us in our weakness, and give us courage to face the future unafraid. Draw those of us who remain in this life closer together, closer to one another. Make us faithful, like Liz, to serve one another. And give us to know that peace and joy, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And hear now the words from the scripture of benediction. Now unto the one who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of God's glory with rejoicing, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen. We'll see you in the Friendship Center. Great way to begin the celebration and party. Amen.